No one who waits upon the Lord will be put to shame. These are the words of the introit, the words of our offertory verse, Psalm 24, verse 4, or rather verse 3. The theme of the Advent that we have here this season is given to us in our Gospel today, but also in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13. And what does our Lord say to us there in the 31st verse and following, verse 35 and following? He says, a command to us, vigilate, that is, be vigilant, be watchful. Those words, since you have not your scriptures before you, all read, the Lord says, be vigilant, therefore, you do not know when the Lord of the house is coming, whether in the evening or at midnight or at cock crow or in the morning. May he not come suddenly and find you sleeping. When I say to you, I say to all, that is, vigilate, be vigilant, be watchful. The insistence of the call to vigilance is an urgent invitation to be prepared so that you and I might be ready to welcome the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Lord who comes to be with us. That's what that word Emmanuel means, that he becomes incarnate. He takes on flesh. And that's what the whole of the season is to prepare us for. The point of this liturgical season is this in Advent. We begin it today. The Advent that we experience now is a time of waiting. It's a time of interior preparation for us to have a genuine encounter with the very person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is made possible because he is really and actually substantially present here to us. Therefore, let us prepare our spirit to undertake with joy and determination the spiritual pilgrimage that carries us toward the celebration of Holy Christmas, the Nativity. Why does God come? Or as he says all throughout the other places of Scripture, why does he desire to visit us? God has this desire because he wishes to visit to save his children, to allow them to enter into communion with his love. This fact tells us two things about ourselves and about God, about us and about our relationship to God. What are those two things? First, that we are in danger and lost. And secondly, that God thinks that we are worth visiting and saving. We'll repeat those two. It tells us that we are in danger and that we are presently lost. And secondly, that God thinks that you and I, that all of us, each of us individually, is worth visiting and saving, coming to rescue us. We are in danger because of original sin that has separated us from the security that we are called to have in the person of Christ, in God. And the sins and the evils of the world, they have wounded us, they have lied to us. And our own participation in that sin has made us really believe those lies by living into them and treasure the wounds which we've been given to make covenants, to make vows, agreements, contracts with these lies and to claim them as they are our own, our identity. And so if we continue as is, then we will always be held bound. That we will never be able to be happy, fulfilled. We will end up being less than. Our divinely promised destiny will always remain unrealized. God's plan for us is to reach a maturity in Christ. And if we live as the way we've always been living, that'll be thwarted. We won't reach that liberty, that freedom that is meant for the sons, for those daughters of God. And a lot of us live that way, don't we? But we don't have to. We don't have to live that way. Because God thinks that we're worth visiting. That God believes that you are worth saving. This is why he sends his son to become small, so that he might enter into the womb of the Blessed Virgin. This is why our blessed Lord Jesus embraces his saving mission to take on willingly the lowliness of our human flesh. This is why God mounts the very gibbet of the cross and takes on all suffering for us. Because he thinks we're so worth it. Because he thinks you're so valuable to embrace that and to do so with gusto and joy, with excitement. We don't think so, but God thinks so. Our God, in fact, he goes even further than all of this. He goes further than this, and that's why he grants us the grace of the Eucharist. Your pastor, Archbishop Sample, has called upon us to preach upon the Eucharist during these weeks of Advent. Our Lord is present. Body, blood, soul, and divinity, he's really and actually truly here within the Eucharist. And the full sacrifice on Calvary, that isn't a past event. It's not a 2,000 years ago visit that he sought to make at one point. It's a present visit. It's a now visit. It's a today on this very altar visit. And God's really, actually, substantially, truly here within the tabernacle. And it is here that God visits today, you who are here. Have you made yourself ready for this visit? Are you readying yourself for the visit? So what's God asking of us in this Advent visit? God invites us to open the very doors of our soul to him, to the greatest mystery of the Incarnation. God invites us to welcome the life of his Son, that is Jesus Christ, his firstborn, who comes to save the world. And so he was named Jesus. That means he saves. And this very knowledge, which we could wax eloquently on for hours on end, though we're told we don't have the time for that, it should fill you and I with a Eucharistic amazement. And he's full of amazement of all these grand mysteries that are laid open for you and I, that our Eucharistic Lord is really here to visit us. It should fill us with a sense of, how could God do this? Why would God do something like this? This miracle is too much for me. This gift is far beyond my understanding. The reaction should be, I'm wowed. I'm wowed. Who am I that the Lord should come to me? Why does the God of the universe want to leave his perfection, his completion, his fullness to enter into the messiness of the world that hates him? Knowing that he will be rejected and brutally murdered, why does he come for me? Why does he come here to me? My sins prove that I am no better than those who rejected him at his first visit. Why does he wait for me? The incredible answer is that none of this is greater than his love. That he loves me more than my sins, more than my continual rejection of his overtures toward me, that his love makes him want to visit me not one time, but weekly. That he wants to visit me daily, that at Mass, in the Eucharist, he wants to make himself known to me at every passing, though I choose to pay attention to other things and not him. What Advent does is it vividly and beautifully makes this reality so very present to us. Incredible love that he is, he could not bear being separate from us even for a time. That he wants for us to visit him here within the tabernacle, that he waits for us to come and make that visit, that he walks among us in all of his priests, that he's blessed us so generously with here within this parish and within our archdiocese, and that through their hands, those of the priests, he multiplies his presence with us in the hosts consecrated at Mass, so that they can feed us with the very bread of life. so that his life wouldn't be a distant thing from us, but incorporated into our very flesh as we're here to be with him himself. He is the Eucharist. How immense must be the love that God has for us? Ponder this for a moment. Let a few moments of silence pass here within these mysteries to interrupt the Mass. Just try to contemplate, to comprehend the lavishness of God's for as daily millions of hosts are given to the faithful at daily Mass all throughout the world. Each and every one of these hosts is Christ. Each and every host is Christ coming in tremendous love to be united to each of us, to be united to all of us. There's one host in particular that's longing to be united with you because that is Christ. He wants you. Time is up, so we can't say anymore. Be vigilant. Watch. Our God is coming to visit you. Sin has put us in danger of being lost because we believe lies. But God thinks that you are so much more worth it. That's why he visits. That's why he longs to save. And that's why he gives the Eucharist. No one who waits for the Lord shall be put to shame. And this should fill you with Eucharistic amazement. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.